Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. A couple of real quick other moves to go with Nick's update. The Titans have also waived defensive tackle Tommy Horn, linebacker Curtis Jacobs, cornerback Gabe Judy-Lally, tackle John Ojukwu, whatever. And they have also released center Corey Levin because they signed Shy Tuttle.
No.
So there's another J-Rob draft pick that has been released.
So they've only got one center on the team.
Yep, but they'll probably put him on the practice squad if I had to guess.
Not bad.
So there you go. Coming up this weekend, Nashville Super Speedway, the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix, the finale for the NTT IndyCar Series, and one of the drivers you will see is Santino Ferrucci, who joins us now on the program. Santino, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic. You excited to get to Nashville?
I am, without a doubt. So hopefully you guys are ready to watch our season finale.
Yes. And look, I've talked to some of your fellow drivers, and Alex Palou has kind of taken a little bit of the excitement out of it because he's just run away with things. But what a historic season he's had.
Yeah, definitely something special. Wild to watch when you're another competitor too. So, pretty awesome. But looking forward to getting down to the Music City, man.
How has this season been for you? I know that you've had a couple of top fives that you've been proud of with your team. How do you feel like you guys have developed as the years gone on?
Man, I feel like our development's been amazing. You know, two podiums, multiple top fives. It's just one of those things where it's been a really solid year. Decent run at the mile last weekend, so just missing a little bit of unlucky timing with the yellows there, but looking forward to getting back after it in Nashville for another oval. So wish we had more of them.
Do people realize how, like, you have a road racing background and a lot of guys do people realize how difficult it is to kind of go from that to adjusting to an oval? Because people might look at an oval and go, oh, well, that's got to be a lot easier, but there's difficulties, you know, that even it presents.
Man, I wish it was as easy as turning left. I feel like we spend almost as much time turning left as we do right at the mile. So just fighting the car. But, I mean, it's just all about feeling and getting comfortable and being able to push the entries and, you know, carry speed. So also passing on the ovals is just so much more like a chess game than it is anything else.
We're talking to Santino Ferrucci here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. How important is it? And I know the answer, but when you're doing an oval, is qualifying to get that up position, be close to the top, because you talk about how tough it is to pass. How important is qualifying?
Man, on the ovals, I don't find it that crucial. But when, you know, you can get caught out by a caution at any point. So whether you start in the back or in the front, it does make it a lot easier to start up front, that's for sure. So like Nashville, for example, or Gateway, those are great tracks you want to start up front from. But a track like Indianapolis or Milwaukee or Iowa, normally you can kind of start wherever and go through the field.
I'm glad we got you on. I've always wanted to ask people, and I love asking people this, especially drivers. They always say, well, if you finish strong here in Nashville, the last race of the year gives you that bump and the momentum going into 26. Is that really true? Because so many things change. You could change teams, crews, everything like that. Does that mean anything when they say, hey, man, you need to finish strong, gives you a good bump into the next year?
I mean, always. I mean, I think, you know, with coming up to Nashville, you know, for us and the team, we were just looking to have a really strong, clean weekend. Honestly, not trying to expect too much out of it. You know, we've had such a great year that we just want to keep building on our progress and come back next season even better.
Also, a question. How badass is your name, by the way? I mean, it's Santino Ferrucci just sounds powerful.
Man, there's some great racer names. I have, like, Will Power as well. I mean, just some solid racing names right there.
Yeah, very. Those are very good for sure. All right, so take me back to Road America. You get a podium finish at Road America. You run out of fuel on the cool down lap, and a fan threw you a beer. Like,
yeah.
And do I understand this correctly that you hosted that fan last week at Milwaukee?
I did. I hosted Miller Lite Doug, man, and we're gonna go up to his bar in Sheboygan when we get back there next year to take the team and celebrate.
That is fantastic. So, I mean, does a beer taste better after running a race and being so hot like that?
Dude, I don't like beer. I don't really drink beer. That was one of the best beers I've ever had. just ice cold, perfect throw. I mean, super hydrating.
Oh, that is awesome. Really cool story. So Nashville, this track, you know, obviously host the NASCAR race, and now you guys as well. It's the second year. What are some things that maybe you learned last year about this oval that you can apply to this year?
You know, I think as far as like car and balance and stuff, I feel pretty good about it. There's a couple of things that we've learned throughout the year that we're excited to come back and try. I mean, we qualified fifth there last year and finished. We didn't start fifth because we had an engine change, but we ended up sixth, and I just felt like we were super competitive all day. So, you know, just like to build off of that experience. You know, the track's really cool. I'm excited for the two types of tire choices we have, and I'm excited to see the fans. I mean, who doesn't love Nashville, man?
Yeah, are you here, or when do you get here?
I get in tomorrow.
And I guess when you get here, your schedule is packed, right?
Oh, yeah. Pretty nonstop.
I mean, I was asking if you want to get out and have a beer or something, but I guess I'm kidding. No, let that.
Oh, dude, they keep me busy, but until Sunday night. Once Sunday night hits, all bets are off.
It's Labor Day weekend, too, especially if, you know, look, here's the deal. Now, Chasen always tell drivers this, and damn, Ryan Blaney didn't do it, and we're mad at him. If you win on Sunday, you got to say, hey, shout out to Chasen, Big Joe, because they believed in me, okay?
All right, perfect. I'll remember that.
Sure you will. Also, Woodbury, Connecticut. When I look up people from Woodbury, Connecticut, how did Santino Ferrucci, your family from there?
Yeah, so my family's from Connecticut. My great-grandparents are from Italy, but I was born and raised, so it's a little small town, like 8,000 people. So, you know, typical lifted trucks and country, country living.
I'm looking at notable people from Woodbury, Connecticut. There's you and Rob Zombie. So you got some good competition there.
That's pretty good. I did not know he was from Woodbury, Connecticut.
Yeah, Woodbury, Rob Zombie, musician and movie. So there's a lot of it. There's a lot of really like politicians and people we don't care about. We just care about you and Rob Zombie.
Hey, I mean, fair enough.
What would it mean to win a guitar? Because it's one of the coolest trophies in motorsports.
I would have to start taking lessons.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't want to win a guitar and not know how to play it.
Thank you. All the NASCAR guys are like, yeah, I don't really have time. I'm like, yeah, but it's a guitar. Like, just learn a few chords.
It's literally one of the coolest trophies.
Yeah, and look, all you need is three chords and the truth, and you're good. That's all you need. You'll be good. Santino, it's going to be fun on Saturday and Sunday. We're looking forward to it. Thanks so much for doing this, and we will see you this weekend.
Pleasure. Looking forward to it, guys. It's going to be a good one.
Absolutely. Santino Ferrucci joining us here on the program as the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix comes to the Nashville Super Speedway Saturday and Sunday. Still tickets available. Just go to musiccitygp.com.
You know what makes those interviews fun is when they're engaged.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, we had Ice Cube on, engaged. Had Bill Burr on, couldn't have cared less. You know, not at all.
Well, look, I think that's why we need to get Travis Kelce or Taylor Swift on, because they're now engaged. So,
yeah,
that would be good.
Oh, my God.
You walked right into it.
I mean, this new writer you've hired, Chase, not sure I like this guy or not. I don't know what's going on there. But, no, I mean, that's good for him, man. That'd be a lot of fun coming to Nashville this weekend and have a good time at the Speedway on Sunday.
So here's a couple of updates for the two-tone. Looks like Corey Levin is going to sign with the Titans practice squad. And, yes, Mason Kinsey is back. So now his little Titans tweets make sense.
How many years is this for him on the floor?
I don't know, seven.
On the practice squad?
Kuharsky says this. With Corey Levin cut, rookie Jackson Slater looks to be the backup center. Don't think he's worked there much, if at all, since he's arrived.
I like that.
But if Levin's on the practice squad, they can just call him up. So,
How does that work on game day? They call him up, or
you can do the two call ups.
Okay, I don't know. I like Jackson Slater. I think he's got the bigger upside. I will say center is the least. How do you put this? It's still a tough position, but the guard and tackle are much more physical than the center position is in a game. So he could acclimate himself. That now, if you're running a 3-4 and there's a nose tackle, then it's different. But I think Jackson Slater, Look, I like that dude. He's got energy. He's strong as an ox. He wants to be here. He wants to be better. That's what you want on this football team. So good for them. Look, they know what they're doing, right? Let's give them that. They know what they're doing. For 99% of the personnel, what they're doing, they know what needs to go where, who they need to cut, who needs to go to the practice squad, and they'll figure it out.
They will. They'll figure it out. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Our question of the day, in honor of Cracker Barrel keeping their old logo, what sports team needs to change their logo back to something different? A lot of you have weighed in on this. We even have Tennessee's interlocking UT at midfield.
What is that?
The old UT.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I don't like it on the helmet. Did they ever wear it on the helmet?
No. It's always been the UT.
Yeah. I it's fine midfield, but the 80s Miami Dolphin is one. So the script Bucks on the ETSU football helmets in the 90s that Donnie Abraham wore.
I have all the UT helmets pulled up since they started playing, and it's all been T. 1963, they went numbers. 1962, they went numbers. 1950 to 61, there was nothing on the helmet. And then 1965, it's a T. It looks like a little cross in the middle. Was that when the coaches were killed in a car accident? They might have honored him that way, but then they've gotten the T's throughout. I like just the orange T. I like the typical helmet. I don't like the black helmets. I like the smoky grays. I just like the orange helmets, and I wish you'd go back to the big block letters and come out wearing all orange on Saturday.
Maybe they will.
By the way, Al Wilson tomorrow, 12:30 on the show.
Looking forward to having him on. We'll have our high school coaches at 1:30. As well, and Austin Peay's coach at 1:45.
Packed so show, man.
It's going to be great. We'll be up in Franklin, Kentucky. So, speaking of Tennessee, they made an announcement yesterday, and I kind of wonder, did they read the tea leaves and think we need to get ahead of this? We'll discuss that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. So Tennessee making some news yesterday that they have extended Josh Heupel's contract through January 2030. And I saw that and immediately go, they're thinking what we're thinking, aren't they?
I don't know why. I mean, it's only a year to put it on there, and I get that, but
is that
no raise?
Oh, there's no raise?
No raise at all.
Oh, then they're not. Then maybe they're not thinking right.
Maybe it's kind of like, all right, let's add another year, put him to 2030. I don't
Does
know.
Does that make the buyout, like adding one year, that's one more year?
I would
buyout?
Think so, right? I think it would. I mean, these contracts are so in favor of the coaches now. I don't know, but.
Look, I don't think he's going anywhere, but I don't think, like, Venables has got to do something in Oklahoma. Now, at the same time, you know, you're going to have some other jobs open up and coaches be available. But it just makes sense that if Oklahoma opened up, supposedly Heupel and Stoops have made up and there's all this stuff there, you know, would he want to go home and coach his alma mater? If at the end of the day, if he walks into Danny White and says, hey, Danny, look, this is something I can't pass up, you can't really argue with him. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I wouldn't leave Tennessee for a
while. I wouldn't either. I think Tennessee right now is a better job.
It is, and people really like him. I mean, because you came in after Pruitt. Pruitt was so awful in Knoxville. You came in, stabilized the program, and now you see where he is. Now, I don't fault him if he goes home to Oklahoma, but Scott Frost tried doing that, and it was a disaster. You know, be happy where you are. I think Heupel's good in Knoxville, but again, you go 4-8, you might not get to decide whether or not you're remaining in Knoxville. But I think they got a chance to be a really good football team this year. That defense is so good. If Heupel gets his guy to run the offense as he should, I think they could be good. And
so,
I'm glad Nico's gone.
Okay. with the understanding that the goal every year is to win the national championship, and we understand that. Like, you Tennessee fans would love to win the SEC and win the national title. Mm-hmm. We got that. What at this point do you need Josh Heupel to do other than those two things? Like, is it being a perennial playoff contender? Is that good enough to satisfy you? Now, obviously, you know, there was the talk, and we asked him about it at SEC Media Days. I don't think he loved the question, but he got it. He knew it was coming. Of people kind of view you get a pass this year because of the quarterback situation. He doesn't view it that way at all.
I go into every game wanting to win.
Yep. I loved his answer. He gave the right answer.
He was expecting that.
He was. But, like, the way he gave the answer was, I have never gone into a game thinking, well, we might lose this one. Like, you know. Yeah. And so the question for Vols fans is, you know, what's going to keep you happy other than the obvious of winning the SEC or a national title?
I think it's too early. I mean, the playoff just started, you know, obviously last year with the expanded one. But I think continually making the playoffs, but there's something he hasn't done yet he's got to do.
Beat Georgia. Yeah. I would say that's on the list.
I mean, no pun intended, but you need to run with the big dogs. You make that. You knock off teams, the Georgia, the Florida, the Alabama.
Look, I'm going to take it a step further. He needs to beat Alabama and beat Florida at their place.
He does.
Like, that doesn't get brought up a lot because, yes, he has beaten them, but both times have been in Knoxville.
Now's the year. They're both on the road.
And I'm like, you know, that's great, but if you can go get it, like, if Vanderbilt goes down to Tuscaloosa and does it again, Clark Lee can go fill out the years and the money. Like, that's beating them here is one thing, but you go to their place and do it, like, that is a completely different thing.
Let me ask you a hypothetical.
Hypothetical?
Say Vandy has a great year, 9-3. So they upset a couple teams, right?
Yep.
Florida goes 4-8 and fires Napier. If you're Florida,
100%.
Go after Clark Lee.
He won't take it, but 100%.
Why would you not take the Florida job?
I think this is
Florida.
I know. From a career standpoint, like, I would sit here and I would tell him take Florida. But this is home, and he wants to see this through. So I think there are certain,
and I know this ain't gonna last.
No,
Chase.
No,
you know this. Sorry, Vandy fans. History reveals.
Now
itself.
I think here's where I'll push back. I think that Vandy is in a little. They've figured out how to play the game a little bit better than they did in the past, and I don't think that goes away because this is the way college sports are now. So, Vandy having to play the NIL game, the portal game, you know, some of that stuff, I don't think that goes away.
What about Brian Kelly gets fired at LSU and Clark has a great year? I mean, it's the same as Florida, obviously, but, you know, he'd probably been head coach at Notre Dame had he stayed.
Probably.
Right. But you are now, you've proven yourself here. But if I'm LSU, I'm reaching out to that guy.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a fair question to ask because I think there, and this is not just Vanderbilt, there are other schools, there are ceilings. Like, there's a, you know, a lot of things would have to happen for Vanderbilt football to win a national championship. That's reality. I would love to see it. I love Diego Pavia saying that that's what they want. I would be the first leading the parade with tears in my eyes, looking up, saying, Dad, we finally did it. But it's just you got to live in a realistic world. There are 16 teams in the SEC, and 12 of them are probably playoff teams. Then you got the other conferences that you got to worry about. So, that, like I said, a lot of stuff would have to happen. So, with that said, if he's thinking about, you know, his coaching career and his future and things like that, he would be a fool not to at least listen if LSU and Florida came open.
A year ago, he's on the hot seat.
Right.
So that's how what winning can do to you and spin you around. One step ahead of the jailer, man. You have a great year. LSU comes calling. You'd be a fool not to take the LSU job. You'd be a fool not to take the Florida job.
I can tell you who LSU is going to call first. He's going to say no, but they're going to call him, and they'd be stupid not to.
Who's that?
He's currently an analyst on College Game Day, and he was once their coach. I think they would call him.
He's 74 years old.
I don't
old.
Care. I think they would call him.
He's not going back.
I'm not saying he would. I'm saying he would not.
It's fine. You can call whoever you
but
want.
But I think they would call him.
It's a wasted energy.
Hey,
and
Nick,
effort.
Just checking in. And he answers phone. Nope, not interested. All right, coach, see ya.
See ya. I'm gone. Now, we laughed yesterday about Gruden.
Ben just texted in and said Gruden to LSU.
Gruden would be one. Why not? I mean, the eyeballs and him develop the quarterbacks. Well, I tell you, once he wins this thing versus the NFL that's out in Vegas or whatever it is, that they say that can go to trial, it's a whole new world for him.
Do you
now the coach at Tulane, Summerall, could go to LSU. He's hot property.
Well, or Kentucky.
Where would you rather go?
LSU.
I ain't going to Kentucky.
Yeah. But could you see – I'm not saying for LSU. I'm just saying the domino effect. Because last year there were no jobs open in the SEC. This year I think there will be. So let's say Auburn is open, Mississippi State. What if Lane – you know, would Lane try and go to LSU? And then Ole Miss opens up.
Sure he would. LSU, if you went after Lane Kiffin, you should all be fired. Lane Kiffin has never won anything.
But
so stop.
But here's my question. Does that open the door for somebody like Dan Mullen to come back to the SEC? He started out at UNLV. They won. Now they didn't win like I thought they would, but they won. I don't know. I think it could. Unless he's just fine being like, hey, leave me alone. I'm doing my thing out here in Vegas.
Well, you got what's the Liberty coach's name? Jamie Chadwell. You got him. You got the Tulane coach. I mean, there's a lot of really good group of five coaches that are out there.
But we love retreads.
But I don't think Dan Mullen.
Look,
nah.
We've talked about this with Dr. Crane. Mississippi State, I think, would do a somersault if they could bring him back to Starkville.
Sure. But
he did a really good job there.
It's got to be 50-50. I don't think he wants to go back there. You know, I don't think he wants to go back there at all. But there's a lot of good group of five coaches out there that'll go. Look, Jeff Lebby's not a bad coach.
He's not. He was just put into a bad situation.
Right.
His system he runs would be great for a team that's already established.
Yeah.
Which is what Ole Miss was with Lane Kiffin and also Oklahoma. And now they don't have that.
Yeah, you're right. So he's not a bad coach. It's just, like you said, it's just not a good spot for him right now. And to see what goes on. And look, there might be, I mean, I'm surprised Drinkwitz stayed at Missouri. I'm shocked he stayed there, didn't leave and go anywhere. Kelly's on the hot seat, but I give it to Brian Kelly. Look, they're on the road again playing at Clemson on Saturday night or Sunday night, whatever that is, Saturday night. That's a tough game to start out, what goes on. What happens in Napier, Florida, who knows what goes on there? And to see, so there's still a lot of unknown that happening, but the fact that no coaches were bounced out last year is something. It's different, man. So I'm excited to see what happens this year and who ends up different places come January.
By the way, Derek Mason now going to join us at 2:00 today.
Two o'clock.
We'll catch up, and I'm going to tell him since he missed 12:30 that I get to call a play against Wisconsin. So we're going to see if he goes for that.
They're all scripted.
Well, I got one. He's got to run the wing tee, but I'm going to steal one from Elijah Campbell. Because I think that's fantastic. Unless you have another formation you want to
run. No, you get yours. I got mine. I'll get mine the next game. Okay. I told you. I'm telling you. Line up in a punt. We did that in junior college. It confused him. And I had snapped to the up back. He went straight up the middle because the whole team was looking around. What is going on? And he went about 45 yards up the middle.
Where did the quarterback line up? As the punter?
No, the punt team went out.
Oh,
the entire punt team.
We had an audible that was Kentucky, and we put it on third down. Some people would say, are you really doing that? And we just toss it over. Y'all have seen that on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
We used to do that in high school.
Yeah, why not? You catch it. The whole thing is confusion. So I remember running out there like, this is going to be
But do you do it like if it's – like if you're third and long or something, and that way, like, the quarterback or whoever is in has the option to quick kick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like if it you was need like to bail out of the play, you quick kick.
It was third and a mile. Yeah, definitely do that.
Yeah, that's the thing is I vividly remember because you do the old punt formation. You didn't have the five guys behind you sitting up. Had the one personal protector, and I'll never forget the other team was just kind of looking around with their arms out like, "What? Nobody was lined up." You snap to the up back, he blows up the middle, and you get I think it was like a 48-yard run, first play of the game. They were so confused. Now, I wouldn't do that in a big-time game like that because if you don't make it and you get blasted, like Woody Woodenhofer going for the fake punt versus Georgia back in 2001, and that was awful. But if you get it, you never know,
man. You never know. We'll have more coming here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Well, Hall & Oates was talked about on Robbie and Rex Road this morning with the Hall & Oates hotline that Joe Rex Road is so proud of.
I missed that. What was that about?
So he's got a – if you look at Rex Road's Twitter profile, he has a phone number on there. And if you call it, it just plays Hall & Oates songs.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I got something to do for the next hour.
Yep. So you can check that out.
Is that a – like a joke? Is that what the deal is? Oh, there it is. Okay.
What's the number?
719.
Do it. Yeah, do it.
266 – 2837. Joe, you better answer. We're calling.
Is it? Put it on hold. I'll pull it up.
This is to hear one on one. Please press 1. To hear Rich Girl, please press 2. To hear Manita, please press 3.
Oh, there we go.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Great.
Look, Rex Road every now and then gives us something that's just fun.
I just, because it says hotline.
Yeah.
You call this number. It's a hotline.
So, when I first saw it, I thought it was his number. All right, that's enough.
Oh, well, that's funny. Awesome. Because you know somebody's pissed off. I'm going to call them up right now. Then you get Hall & Oates.
And you feel better.
It makes you feel better and feel worse at the same time because you can't get to Rex Road. I love that. That's good.
Makes your dreams come true.
That goes on. I was looking early because Texas and Ohio State, and now with the schedule, if Texas gets blown out up there, it's okay now.
Okay. No, that's fine.
You lose the opening game because the way everybody wants to get in the playoffs now and all these teams, it's great. You know, you go and get it done. But I think if Texas loses, it completely wrecks Arch Manning's chances of getting a Heisman Trophy. It does.
This year.
This year, yeah.
Yeah. Man, it's here. I just like looking at some of these games. What did you have? Something with betting?
Yeah, all these. There were 5 betting lines that say that Syracuse, God bless you, Syracuse will cover on Saturday. Vols are favored by at this poll or this post.
You know what this means, right?
14.
So the line is 13.5, according to ESPN.
Okay.
Like, everybody thinking, like, oh, the money's going on Syracuse, and people think Syracuse is going to cover. Now Tennessee's just going to kick the you-know-what out of them.
Could see. Could do it. Syracuse is not bad, guys. They're not
I don't think they're bad either. What I'm curious to see is, does Tennessee come in with the chip on their shoulder of like, y'all been talking all this you know what about us, that we're gonna have to take a step back, it's a year that just we get a pass because the quarterback left, and they're just gonna be like, here, hold my beer, because like you keep pointing out, that defense looks pretty freaking good.
Oh, it is. Real quick, 8905 says, you guys stop being homers with recency bias. The Tennessee job is not better than Oklahoma. The history, national championships, All-Americans, Heisman winners, Oklahoma's clearly above. Historical, yes. Currently, no.
Right. That's the thing. What you've done in history, especially if that history is – when was the last time they won a national championship? 2000?
Oklahoma, 2000.
All right. That was 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, Barry Switzer had a lot of success too. I just watched that episode of the Cowboys documentary. He's an interesting cat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been 25 years. So, like, yes, you can claim that history, but that has nothing to do with today.
Right. Historically, yeah,
they have not
better.
Been good. I mean, Lincoln Riley had him pretty good, mm-hmm. and then he up and left.
I mean, yeah, I get the Heisman Trophy winners. I mean, hell, you had Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. What was the guy's name? Jason White, who won in 03.
Former Titan
for a day. Jason White and then Billy Sims. I'm leaving somebody off as you go down the line. But still, right now, the Tennessee job is better than Oklahoma. We're all in agreement on this.
If you polled I'd be really curious of this. If you polled five coaches and said, I will give you one of these two jobs, which one would you take? I think a majority of them would say Tennessee, right?
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Now, Oklahoma's a great job. Don't get us wrong. That's a great job, great school. I get all that. But currently, I'm taking Tennessee right now. That's the job I take.
Yeah. So maybe there is, you know, recency bias there, but that's just what – and we're not being homers. I'm just saying, like, that's right. My opinion.
Yeah, and plus Tennessee went into Norman last year and
beat you. I would take the Texas job over Tennessee right now. There you go. How about that?
Yeah. on and on. Any head coaching job would be fun, man, in the SEC. Any of those jobs.
I just love that, like, the best game of the day is at 11 mm-hmm. with Texas and Ohio State.
I love they didn't change it. We're keeping it there.
No, I like it. Yeah, I like – see, you I think, have kind of been against the big games. I like it because I like it all day.
I do. I'm against big – I don't like 11 o'clock. But but the fact they went to him and said, you need to change, and they said, we're not changing.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, we're not doing it.
I'm good with it, like, because it gives me all day that I just say, hey, I'm going to watch football. And then Syracuse, Tennessee at the same time, we'll have two TVs set up. It will be fantastic. What else is at 11 that I care about or we care about? So you got – we don't care about Friday. Well, we do. But Texas, Ohio State, Syracuse, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Southern Miss, Florida Atlantic, Maryland, Ball State, Purdue, Northwestern, Tulane, is it Duquesne and Pittsburgh, VMI, Navy, Merrimack, Kent State, and then Toledo and Kentucky at 11:45.
Hold the farm there on that Mississippi State Southern Miss game. That game is sold out. Ticket prices
down in Hattiesburg
are very – my son-in-law is a Southern Miss graduate. They're going, and I think he paid like $1,100 for two tickets. I mean, it is a hot item in Mississippi.
I'm going to tell you this. The line on that, what do you think? Have you looked? All right, what do you think it is?
No, I'm just surprised. $1,100. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
What do you think the line is for this game?
This should be a cupcake game. Double digits? Like 10?
13.5. Mississippi State's 13.5.
That's respectable.
I think Southern Miss covers.
Good.
I just don't think Mississippi State's a good team, man. I'm just being real with you.
I know they're only projected, what, 3 wins is what they said at the SEC Media Days, right?
No, mm-hmm. I don't know how good Southern Miss is, but I just
– new coach.
It's at home.
He brought the coaches.
Ricky says Toledo's going to upset UK.
I don't know about that. But I know the Southern Miss coach is from Marshall. He brought like 50 players with him, took Marshall's program. They all went south within the Hattiesburg. So we'll see. But look, Southern Miss would look nothing better to upset an SEC team. Toledo, same way.
There's always a week one upset.
Always. They would like to do that. And there's more and more Group of Five teams knocking off Power Four teams now than never before.
South Florida, Boise tomorrow. That game's at 4:30. Let's see. What are some other ones?
That's a Thursday game?
Yeah.
Dang.
East Carolina, NC State. That's tomorrow. The big one tomorrow is Cincinnati and Nebraska, and that's at Arrowhead.
Ooh, I don't like that. Don't like that. We had a thing about neutral site
Nebraska,
games.
Nebraska like is favored by 6.5.
Now, why is that game in Arrowhead?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
Should be in Nebraska. Should know. Be in Cincinnati.
Maybe because Nebraska's quarterback resembles Patrick Mahomes,
yeah,
potentially.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just putting that out there.
Turn your mic off. The neutral site games piss me off.
I don't think he's crazy on that, and if that's the reason, that's hilarious.
Same number.
They look. They look like twins. They really have the same haircut.
There's no need that game should be in Arrowhead Stadium. There's no need for that game to be in Arrowhead Stadium. I had no idea. Now I'm mad.
By the way, if you want to do a little research, Wisconsin plays Miami, Ohio tomorrow night as well.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on the Badgers. On the Badgers.
I don't know.
Where's that game going to be played? Some cornfield in Iowa?
That is at Camp Randall.
Good. As it should be.
It's at Camp Randall.
That's ridiculous. I'm going to look up why Nebraska is playing that game at Arrowhead.
Friday night, Michigan State, Western Michigan. I know nobody really cares about this game as much, but I've always found this game to be interesting. App State and Charlotte.
Yeah. Why would it not? They're really close to each other.
Right. And I like App State for some reason.
You like apps from
Charlie. Auburn and Baylor. That's an interesting one.
Right. John McClain's going to be there.
Auburn's a 2.5-point favorite.
Are they really?
On the road.
Boy, if Hugh Freeze can go down and win that game against Baylor on the road.
If he loses, though, oh, boy. Just wait. Georgia Tech and Colorado, that'll be an interesting one. Georgia Tech's a 4.5-point road favorite.
Georgia Tech's a good team. That's a good football team I think they've got down
there. I don't think Colorado's going to be good. Who's your quarterback?
Caden Salter from Liberty.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Former Tennessee guy, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We saw him against Middle last year. Yeah,
torched Middle.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll come back with more. I forgot we got to. I did this yesterday too. I thought it was because I missed you, but we'll have more coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. This is what Dr. Crane likes to do at karaoke night. Good song. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. Coach Derek Mason of MTSU will join us at 2 o'clock.
Hold on. Dr. Crane, you ever karaoke?
Once or twice. I've been known to, sing a little bit.
You should get out with the Karaoke King here, one Chase McCabe, and sing one night.
Really?
I haven't sang in a while.
What's your go-to song?
It changes, but lately it's been Don't Rock the Jukebox by Mr. Jackson or Pickup Man by Joe Diffie.
Bow, bow. I like that. Dr. Crane, what about you?
I mean, a lot of it's Dean Martin for me. Very old school stuff. That's Amore's an easy one for me. Some Alan Jackson in there, maybe some Zach Top here and there. Just there's a lot of variations going on with my selection.
A little crooner, right? Get the ladies.
Excuse me.
A little crooner.
Oh yeah.
Excuse you.
I didn't hear. Sorry.
I was at Mardi Gras and I was absolutely hammered and I sang Brandy on a stage and got booed off. Then some little punk comes up and sings Cowboy by Kid Rock, and they all go crazy. And I wanted to fight that guy so bad. But that was when I used to drink a whole lot, and I don't do that anymore. So I've matured as an adult. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Just don't sing Brandy at a crowded karaoke bar in Bourbon Street because they don't like it. But I'm telling you right now, I sang with my heart that night. I was like, Brandy, she's a fine girl. I mean, I was a good wife. I was in key and in tune. I got booed off the stage.
That's why I like doing karaoke at the brew house because nobody cares if you can sing or not.
I saw one video of you one time, and you're out there singing your heart out, and nobody's looking at you.
I didn't care.
It's like, oh man, that's how it should be.
It is it's funny because when I do that, I get up there and it's like I don't care if anyone's there or not.
Good, you shouldn't.
It's my own little world.
Get out and sing. Maybe our good friend Alan Jackson might be listening today. It's like, attaboy, Chase. Get her and sing the songs.
I sang Chattahoochee like a month or so ago.
Hey!
Yep.
Did you like Pyramid of Cans?
In the Pale Moonlight.
Yep.
Talking about cars, dreaming about women.
Oh, what a great song.
Never had a plan, just a living for the minute.
Fantastic. Is he done? Is he still, like, this is like his last tour?
I don't know. I think.
That's our last tour. Then a year later, we're back.
And it's like, hey, why not?
Like Brooks and Dunn had their last tour 10 years ago. Now they're back making a fortune. Good for them.
Okay. There is a picture on Twitter beer chugging ball. Josh Heupel pictured with Donde Plowman and Danny White following the announcement of his contract extension through 2030. Here you go.
Oh, that is a beautiful, picture. Damn it, Heupel. Get out there and win some damn games.
I can't see Bobby Hill and not see Josh.
Oh, that's an awesome picture.
Oh, wow.
I mean, even when he was like 2 feet away from us at SEC Media Days, that was like, oh, God, don't laugh.
In my head, I'm like, it's Bobby Hill.
Don't
laugh. I can't see it.
Don't laugh. Don't laugh. Don't laugh.
Because that's the first time I've actually met him. Like, I've interviewed him. Like, he's been – I think we've had him on. Like, he's called in, but that's the first time, like, I've been face-to-face with him, and I'm thinking the same thing.
He's ready to fight you that day. He had a little swagger that day in SEC Media Days.
Yeah, but he knew it was coming. If he didn't, then I don't know what to tell you.
Bring it on down here. Yeah.
Coming up next, we will talk to the one and only Derek Mason, head coach of the MTSU Blue Raiders. They open their season against Austin Peay. He'll join us next, 102.5 The Game.